I want to remind you one more announcement of that the Clearwater Bay School requires us to take an RAT on Sunday mornings before we come here, or kind of as we're coming here, but before you come in here, okay? So just know that as the teachers will be coming back tomorrow to the school, they wanted us to begin today. So we had a little break from that for the summer, but from now on, until you hear otherwise, we'll need to take a RAT before coming. We try to have some at the welcome station in case you don't have one, but just a reminder. It's on the website. We'll have that information on the website, as well as usually send it out on the WhatsApp broadcast. But I know some of you, by the way, if you're not getting the WhatsApp broadcast and you think you should be, please let me know. From time to time, there's a glitch in the matrix and your name's in there, but you don't actually receive it. Okay. So please let me know. Okay. Well, we're continuing our study in Psalms today, and we'll be for the next several weeks until we get to Romans. Many of you know I come from Tennessee and from the Appalachian Mountains. Grew up doing a lot of hiking. And in about 1994, when I was finishing up college, my friend Matt and I decided to do a three-day hike backpacking the whole southern section of the Great Smoky Mountains National Park. It's about 40 miles up and over 6,000-foot peaks. On the last day, as Matt and I were finishing up, we were on this mountain here called Shuckstack Mountain. We were very tired and worn out, and as we climbed over this mountain here, we were on a flat ridge, and we saw a thunderstorm in the distance moving our direction. We could hear and feel the booming thunder and see the lightning and the wind and the rain coming right at us. Now, you don't want to be on top of a ridge in the mountains during a thunderstorm. It's a really good way to get struck by lightning, in case you didn't know that. The problem was for Matt and I that day is that there was nowhere to go. There was nowhere to hide. We were literally stuck on this mountain. No shelter, no cave, no rocks to hide under, only trees. And lightning loves trees. We did the only thing that we could do at that point. I'll never forget it. Matter of fact, I messaged Matt, who I haven't talked to in 20 years or so, and a pastor in North Carolina. And I said, "Do you remember this?" And he said, "I've used it as a sermon illustration." He's a pastor. We did the only thing that we could do at that moment. We prayed to the Lord God Almighty, who controls the lightning and controls the thunder. And we sought refuge in the Lord. And we saw the glory of God. That storm went right over us. Thunder, lightning, and hail. My backpack was covered in hail like I was in a snowstorm. The thunder was deafening, and the lightning flashing around us made us tremble. But we just kept walking on the trail right through the middle of the storm. We survived. I'm here. Right? We were safe. Do you know why? Because though we had no place to hide, we did have a refuge. And that was the Lord. And we worshiped God on that mountain when that storm passed. As we see today in Psalm 11, King David was in somewhat of a situation where he had nowhere to run and the difficulties we're facing him. Like David, we all face difficulties in our lives, and in those difficulties, we have a choice to make. And the choice is, are we going to run to the Lord, or are we going to try to run away from the Lord? Let's pray and ask God's help as we dive into Psalm 11. Lord, thank you for delivering me that day in that lightning storm. I'll never forget it. But thank you for the thousands and thousands of times you have been a refuge in so many other ways. Lord, you are a great place to hide in. Lord, we pray as we look in this psalm that you'll open it up to our ears and to our eyes. You'll help us see the truth and you'll help us see your glory. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Psalm 11, let me read it again quickly to you, to the choir master of David. In the Lord I take refuge. How can you say to my soul, flee like a bird to your mountain? For behold, the wicked bend the bow. They have fitted their arrow to the string to shoot in the dark at the upright in heart. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes see. His eyelids test the children of man. The Lord tests the righteous, but His soul hates the wicked and the one who loves violence. Let Him rain coals on the wicked, fire and sulfur, and a scorching wind shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteous deeds. The upright shall behold His face. Well, what's going on here in this psalm? First, I want you to see David's temptation. David's temptation. It's clear in this psalm that somebody is saying something to David. He says there, how can you say to my soul, flee like a bird to your mountain? For behold, the wicked bend the bow. They have fitted their arrow to the string to shoot in the dark at the upright in heart. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? You'll notice in your Bible, there are quotation marks. Someone is saying this. Some people have said this. Now, in Hebrew, there are no quotation marks per se, but we know that this is something that he's portraying that people are saying, or literally they did. He's not talking to himself. When I first looked at this, I thought, well, maybe he's saying like, why so downcast, O my soul, like talking to himself. Maybe he's talking to himself, or maybe it's a person who's saying this. But in Hebrew, the you is plural. So it's really, how can you guys, how can you all say this to me? Someone is saying to David that he should run away. He should flee like a bird to your mountain. Now, David, if you know the scriptures, David did hide away a lot of times from Saul. You remember Saul goes in the cave to use the restroom, and David's hiding in the cave. And at various times, David's hiding, and they're looking for him. And then, you know, certain people tell on him, and Saul comes looking. So David fleeing to the mountains was something that he did several times. He even fled to the Philistines, the enemies of Israel at one point. We don't know exactly what's going on here. It could be that he was running away from... We know he ran away from Absalom, so it wasn't this case. But someone is saying, go up into the mountains and hide away to maybe your mountain, David, that place that you like to go to, and be safe. Well, what's the reason? Why is someone saying this? It says that the wicked are after him. Notice a few things. Number one, the wicked want to shoot arrows in the dark. I don't know if any of you have ever shot bow and arrow before, but when the bow is bent and the arrow is already on the string, that means you're ready to fire. And when you have a compound bow, which you pull back, it's really hard to pull back. And when you get it back and the bow is bent and you've got to let go, you can't let go of that string very easily. You pretty much have to shoot the arrow. So get this picture. The wicked have the bow ready and they are wanting to shoot at David. And it says they want to do it in the dark. Now, you know, when you read the Bible, they usually line up for war. They line up and they're like facing each other, right? Send out David, send out Goliath, let's fight this way in kind of battle lines. But this says in the dark, it's a type of ambush. Now, we don't know if it's literal, if someone's literally wanting to kill David in an ambush, or whether it's figurative. Maybe it could be David's writing this thinking about people like shooting firebrands with their lips, like behind his back, they're wanting to scheme against him. We don't know the situation. But whatever the situation is, we know that David is in trouble. Notice the foundations, it says, are destroyed. If the foundations are destroyed, the word foundations here usually means moral foundations. It's not like his foundation of his house is being destroyed, but more of the moral foundations. Falling apart. Maybe the kingdom is falling apart. Now, if you know David's story, there could be many instances where this is happening. You remember? He had to flee. His son took over the kingdom. He had a daughter who was raped by her brother. And then the other brother killed that brother. And then David committed adultery and had some people killed. There's a lot of problems. And then Saul is trying to throw spears at him. There's a lot of things going on. We don't know exactly what's going on. It could have been when Saul is chasing David. And you remember Saul goes and he slaughters 80 priests of God. It would have seemed like the kingdom was falling apart. But what we do know is that in this case, David receives counsel from someone and he's tempted to run away from the danger to a supposed safe place in the mountains. But David has a different kind of mountain to run to. He has a rock, sometimes he says. He has a place to run to that's secure. That's the Lord. The Lord is a stronghold. So that's David's temptation. His temptation is to run away and flee. Let's look, number two, at David's foundation. His real foundation. We've already seen this in Psalm 9 a few weeks ago. Psalm 9 says this, "The Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. And all those who know your name put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you." How many of you today could give testimony to this verse and say, how many times as you face difficulty in your life has the Lord been there for you? Has the Lord been a stronghold? Most of us would say that is the whole testimony of our lives. From one struggle, one difficulty to another, and there's nowhere to go, like Peter said, except to the Lord. Psalm 11, verse 1, our psalm today, he starts out the psalm by saying very simply, "In the Lord, I take refuge. In the Lord, I take refuge." Mentioned right off. Verses 2 and 3, as I just mentioned, is then the temptation someone is saying to David, you should flee away. And in verses 4 through 7, David gives us reasons why he can trust God as his refuge. Why can God be trusted? Look at verse 4. "The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes see. His eyelids test the children of man." As I was looking at this last night, just reviewing, I noticed that in these sections of Psalms that we're in, it says several times, the Lord sees. The Lord sees. God is not some kind of deistic God who created the universe and then is now far away minding his own business, and then everything is kind of spinning off as it wants to. No, he sees. He sees. We see in verse 4 that God reigns. We've seen it each week. God reigns. He is in his holy temple. He rules from heaven. He is above us, and we are under his feet, and he is in control. God is a refuge for us because he is powerful. He is able to handle whatever difficulties we face. He is able to protect us and provide for us as he sees fit by his power. This verse also shows us God's omniscience. He knows what's going on. His eyelids test the children of man. He doesn't just see. He's not just everywhere. And he doesn't just know what's going on. He tests the children of man. Nothing escapes him. He tests the righteous and he tests the wicked. So David tells us here in this passage, the Lord's holy, the Lord is on his throne, his eyes see, his eyelids test. David doesn't need to run away and find safety somewhere else. He has a refuge. He has a God. And God is all-knowing, all-seeing, and powerful. So he can have faith. Let me give you this statement. When we are tempted to run away from our problems and fear, we should run to God in faith. That's very simple, isn't it? When we are tempted to run away from our problems and fear, we should run to God in faith. Look at verse 5. We see some other things about God in verse 5. David tells us more about who God is. His foundation, see, David's foundation is the character of God. David's foundation, the reason why he can trust God is because he knows who God is. Verse 5 says, the Lord tests the righteous. You may be going through a test right now to see whether you will run to the Lord or not. The Lord tests the righteous, but his soul hates the wicked and the one who loves violence. The Lord, it says, hates the wicked. That's a very hard thing to say in our society today, isn't it? No matter which country you come from, to say that the Lord hates wickedness is one thing. But to say that the Lord hates the wicked is something else. We live in a world today that says God would never hate anyone. God approves of whatever you like. He would never condemn anyone or anything that we would do, or he would never disapprove of any of our behavior. God is for you in whatever it is you want. He's like a nice grandpa who gives you whatever you want. Excuse me. I'm not allowed to enter in here. God hates the wicked, and he hates wickedness. This verse shows us something. God doesn't think wickedness is funny. You know, we live in a world today where people think wickedness is funny. God does not think wickedness is funny. He hates wickedness because the Lord is righteous and he loves righteousness. He loves righteousness. He loves righteous deeds, it says in verse 7. We'll get back to that. I was telling some friends the other day, one of the things I think this teaches us in verse 5 and this whole psalm is that God is our refuge. You know, God is our refuge. Ultimately, God is our refuge from God. God is our refuge from Himself. Because we are all wicked. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, have we not? We have all turned away to our own way. And so God is a refuge more than anything from Himself. Where do we go to flee from God? We flee to God. Let me explain. If we only had this verse 5 in the Bible, we would be in big trouble, wouldn't we? His soul hates the wicked. We would be in big trouble if we only had that verse. It would be very bad news. But the Bible is very clear that although God hates the wicked, He also loves the wicked. Isn't that good news? He loves the wicked. This is what we call, friends, the gospel. This is what Christians call the gospel and the good news. Let me give you some verses. God desires all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. 2 Peter says, God is not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. God demonstrates or shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And God so loved the world that He gave His only, one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Isn't that such a contrast in the Scriptures? The Lord's soul hates the wicked, but the Lord loves the wicked. So much so that He sent Jesus to be a substitute in the place of wicked people. That's really bad news in verse 5, but it's really good news in the rest of the Bible. I read yesterday, I saw somebody was on my Twitter feed and I retweeted it, I think, but somebody said, you know what? We are all saved by works. Did you know that? We're saved by works. It's just that we're saved by someone else's work. We're not saved by our own works. We're saved by the works of Christ. Christ died on the cross for our sins so that the God who hates the wicked can extend His mercy to wicked people like me and you. It says there, as we continue in this passage, it says, let Him rain coals on the wicked, fire and sulfur and a scorching wind shall be the portion of their cup. That's a description really of the Old Testament Sodom, when the Lord rains sulfur and fire out of heaven in judgment. It's a picture of hell. It's a picture of what will happen to those who pursue wickedness and never turn to Christ. Verse 7, though, says, the Lord is righteous. He loves righteous deeds. The upright shall behold His face. The words upright or righteousness appear 5 times in these 7 verses. The upright shall behold His face. That is a picture of salvation. The upright, those who trust in the Lord for their righteousness, will behold His face. You remember the Beatitudes, the pure in heart shall see God. Well, in this psalm, we see David facing a temptation in difficult times to run away, to run somewhere else, Maybe that's to run to a mountain and hide away. Maybe it's to just change geography. We do that as human beings. We think when we have a difficulty, one of the first things we think is, I need to move locations. But most of the time, we take our problems with us because the problems are inside of us. We want to run away. We want to flee. But we need to trust the Lord. There are times to flee, by the way, in the Bible. But what this is particularly pointing to is not fleeing, but trusting the Lord. In the Lord I will take refuge, David says. Let's talk about some application just quickly. Application. Is there anything going on in your life at the moment where you need to run to the Lord for help? Listen. The Lord is not like so many of our earthly fathers, where maybe you're like, I just don't want to bother Him. He's busy. He's got a lot going on. Or I've asked Him for so many things, I don't want to ask Him for anything more. No. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. And He's not a man. The Lord you can run to for help. Is there anything in your life that you're dealing with right now? I would just encourage you. Don't try to solve the problem yourself. But turn to the Lord and trust in Him. He is your refuge. I have no idea what people are what you're dealing with in your lives today. But I do know whatever it is you're dealing with, you can run to the Lord. Another application that I think we can draw from this psalm is that you might have some people in your life give you bad advice. Did you notice these people who are saying to David, flee like a bird to the mountain? These people could be his counselors. They could be his military generals. They could be his friends. I think one application that I drew for this for myself is that, you know, there are times in our lives where even those closest to us can say to us, you should do this. And yet you know in your heart, the Lord is telling me something else. We need to trust the Lord. These people in David's life probably meant well. Seems like the logical thing to do. Somebody's trying to shoot arrows at you, you should go up to the mountain. But sometimes we just need to keep trusting in God and what we know we need to do. Even if some of those people closest to us say, no, don't do that. Now, I want to temper that with being careful. Be careful that you don't hear what I just said and say, I knew it. I don't really like listening to other people anyway. And I want to ignore everybody's advice and do what I want to do. Because God does put people in our lives to give us wisdom and insight, and we need accountability. I'm just saying there are some times in our lives where we know, I really feel strongly that this is the Lord. And yet maybe those around you are saying something else. Does that make sense? Don't disregard everybody's advice, but trust the Lord and run to Him if you're a refuge. Lastly, application from one of these verses here. Of course, the main application is find your refuge in the Lord. But another application is verse number 7. It says, the Lord is righteous. He loves righteous deeds. Did that strike anybody interesting? The Lord loves righteous deeds. Does that encourage you? It should encourage you. It should encourage you to want to do righteousness. It should encourage you to do the right thing. Because, you know, the Lord loves righteous deeds. So for you to do the right thing that you know is right, According to God's word, this is the righteous thing to do. The Lord loves that. We should strive for righteousness because God loves righteousness, because He is righteous. Maybe nobody else cares if we do the right thing, but God does. So there may be something in your life today that you are struggling with. You need to run to the Lord for refuge. There may be something in your life today that you may say, I'm trying to do the right thing and I'm discouraged because nobody seems to really care that I'm doing the right thing. The Lord cares. And He is a place for you to run to. You may have something today that you are dealing with, and you know you've prayed about it over and over and over. It's like I've just prayed and just doesn't seem to really be changing. Take heart today. 2 Chronicles 16:9, one of my favorite verses, says this: the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose hearts are blameless toward Him. The Lord can give you strong support. Run to Him. Let's pray. Lord, you know that you know that my words are not without error. Even the tone in which I might say something may not be the right tone, but You are the Lord. I pray that through Your Holy Spirit, You will use this Psalm 11 in my brother and sister's hearts. Encourage people however You want to. Lord, if I've said anything that's been unhelpful in any way to any individual or to the upbuilding of the church, I pray that You'd cover my tracks with grace. In Jesus' name, amen.